Meeting of the
Clinton
Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Polkowski?
7:32.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on January 17, 2019. Fact in the three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin boards, and administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Polkowski, may we please have a roll call?
Sure. Ms. Grant?
Here.
Ms. Brennan?
Present.
Ms. Brooks?
Here.
Ms. Emery? Dr. Grantham?
Here.
Mr. Hornick?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Ms. Olofsky? And Dr. Riamaki?
Here.
Thank you. Camerata singers are not here. Mr. Hornick, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. Welcome to the monthly board meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. This is the last meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education for 2019, and on behalf of the board, I'd like to wish Mrs. Cohn, her administrators, and the members of her Board of Education office, our maintenance and custodial teams, teaching assistants, secretaries, and the members of her teaching staff a very happy holiday season and a safe new year. I'd like to thank you for all that you do and your staff does for the children in our community. The full board would like to encourage all of you to take some time, relax, and enjoy time with your family and friends. So thank you again and happy holidays. The Board of Education would also like to take a moment to wish a happy holiday season to all of our families and members of the Clinton Township community. On a personal note, I'd like to wish our colleagues from Corzio, Bromberg, and Newman, Mr. Gagliardi, Mr. Bausch, and former Commissioner Hespe, a very happy holiday season as well. This evening, I have some very special recognitions. First, I'd like to recognize Mr. Robert Mullen. Mr. Mullen joined the district in August as interim vice principal at the Clinton Township Middle School. Previously, he had consulted with the district for teacher observations and evaluations. The district has benefited from Mr. Mullen's vast experience in education and as an administrator. Both the students and staff here in Clinton Township have enjoyed working with Mr. Mullen at the Clinton Township Middle School as vice principal. Clinton Township School District would like to thank Mr. Mullen for his service and dedication to the district. Tonight marks the last Board of Education meeting for Mr. Michael Polkowski, interim school business administrator, board secretary. He came highly recommended to the district as someone with a great deal of experience and expertise. Mr. Polkowski went beyond our expectations and provided us with valuable service to the district. Of all the business administrators that this district had, Mr. Polkowski, you've been the best.
Thank you.
Clinton Township Board of Education would like to thank Mr. Polkowski and his firm, School Business Office, LLC, for their service and dedication to the Clinton Township School District this past year. On behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to wish you very best in your future endeavors,
you.
Sir. I'd like to now make a motion for the following action item. Be it resolved that Mr. Scott Hornick will now be a member of the Personnel Committee for the remaining portion of 2019 school year, well, 2019 year. So I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Mrs. Brooks. Roll call, please.
Ms. Brennan?
Point of order, do we have to vote on this? Because I thought this was the role of the president to appoint
We can
people.
Vote on it, so we're gonna make it official. Roll call, please.
Okay, Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
And Dr. Rand?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Thank you, motion carries. As president of the board, I wish to address an event which took place at our November 2019 meeting. After the second public comment portion of the meeting, a member of the public made a comment towards our business administrator. In response, a member of the board made an unfortunate comment about the member of the public who was speaking. Although she apparently intended it to be heard only by herself, it was heard by the member of the public and picked up by our microphones, which record our meetings. Most of us, including myself, were privy to the brief commotion which followed this incident, but did not hear the comment made. While the rights of all of us under the First Amendment are clear, we, as a body, operate under guidelines regarding public interaction, and this comment falls short of those guidelines. This is regretful, and on behalf of the board, I want to express our regret to the member of the public who is speaking and those who may have been offended. In challenging times, it's often difficult to maintain composure when you're challenged personally, ethically, and professionally. That said, it is the responsibility of our members to remember our guidelines regarding public interaction at meetings. Let me assure everyone that we would not and do not tolerate actions by board members or by any of our valued employees which would disparage members of the public or discourage them from being heard. We certainly believe this to be an isolated incident and look forward to mutually respectful words and actions between both the board and the public in the future. I'd like to move on to report of the superintendent. Dr. Comey, we have your report, please.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good evening. This evening's report for enrollment is 1,221 students. That's holding for the last number of months. Suspension and HIBs, we have 2 1-day out-of-school suspensions at the middle school and 2 1-day in-school suspensions at the middle school. And we have 3 HIBs, as you'll see on our agenda, and that is for a first reading. There are no second readings. Given the weather, which is really unpleasant the last number of days, I'd just like to review the emergency closing procedures. The process for the decision to delay close school to inclement weather is as follows. For early morning closings, I, along with our transportation vendor, discuss weather predictions and concerns for safety beginning around 4 a.m. Local law enforcement and area schools, such as the high school, collaborate on both the weather predictions and road conditions and take the recommendation of the transportation vendor. Additionally, if snow has already fallen, facilities managers are consulted as to the timeline for cleanup and salting of the lots, the driveways, and the sidewalks. The decision is not made without considering all factors, but most importantly, student and staff safety. Emergency closings are probably one of the most difficult decisions with the uncertainty of the science of weather prediction. While weather predictions are just that, predictions, it's understood that they may not be accurate 100% of the time. We, however, in the district, must ensure student and staff safety 100% of the time. That being said, we ask all families to please plan a backup for their children in the event that these closings will occur, or whether they might be, you know, early closings, delays, or complete closings. Your child's safety, as well as our staff safety, are the most important considerations in these decisions. I'd like to just update, we had the Camden collection, which we did have on our board agenda last month. The Clinton Township Schools collected across the grades for 70 first grade students in the Camden schools to each have a bag filled with presents, balls, hats, gloves, games, books, markers, toothbrushes, etc. I did visit students who were wrapping, they all were wrapping the balls for playing, and that was rather interesting. They had a great time though. We ended up with over 100 bags of gifts for children. So we were able to also include the siblings of those first grade students. Additionally, we had extra items donated to the school, and CTMS also collected books to donate. ESC sent one small bus, which they had to transfer to actually a larger bus today because they had so many gifts. And that bus was donated for this whole program. So we're very proud of our students and staff and this wonderful program. I think it's over 30 years, so it's very nice. Another item I wanted to just mention, you'll see on the agenda tonight, that due to an increase in student needs, I'm recommending an increase in the staffing regarding our district teaching assistants. In addition, additional full-time teaching assistants will be interviewed for future employment recommendations in order to fill current and increasing needs within the district. Other resources that we had had in place to fill our needs have been unsuccessful. A little bit about staff recognition. I'd like to congratulate a staff member, Elise Jacobs. She's a world language teacher here at the middle school on the completion of her PhD in curriculum and instruction at the University of Louisville. Her dissertation was entitled A Case Study of Teachers in an Innovative Professional Collaboration and the Evolution of Their Curricular Conceptions, Practices, and Agency. The dissertation focused on the influences that support or hinder teachers' growth in agency, including the influence of the collaboration that they were part of. So congratulations to her. I'd also like to thank Mr. Folkowski, our interim business administrator. We've been lucky enough to have Michael over the last year in his role here as the business administrator and board secretary. He's assisted the district in so many areas, finance, facilities, security, many more. His expertise and professional manner will be greatly missed, as well as his great sense of humor. And I'd like to thank him for his many contributions to the district.
Thank you.
Also, I'd like to take a mention to Mr. Robert Mullen, who has served these past few months. He's served in many capacities, but over the last number of months, since August, Mr. Mullen has served as the CTMS vice principal. He's also in the previous years served in the capacity of staff observation and evaluation. He's a wonderful professional man with a great deal of experience. Students and staff love him. He has some wonderful stories and always has a very nice way about him, so he will be greatly missed. Just like to thank him for his many contributions. Also, I'd like to thank our outgoing board members for their service to the district, Kevin and Alyssa, so thank you. And I would like to wish everybody a happy holiday. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kirk. Looking for a motion, please, for action item 20-SU-013 to 20-SU-015.
Motion.
Second.
Alana, second. Questions? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Imaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Graham?
Yes. Motion carries. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address, limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes.
My name is Sonia Dominakis. I'm a community member from 56 Haytown Road. Mom of two boys, one here at CTMS and one at Rhine Valley. And I'm a teacher at this school as well. Asking to follow up a question that I brought up last month on action item 20-FF-098. I just want to confirm that I have it understood correctly, that Mr. Elliot Marenbloom's total fee was in fact $7,500, and so you're rescinding the what action item you approved last month, and the total cost was not to exceed $7,500. So again, I'm just confirming my understanding of that action item. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you for your question. Yes, that is correct. We are rescinding the motion from last month, and the total fee is the $7,500. Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, I'd like to close the floor then for public comment section, excuse me, on agenda items only, and open up the public comment section called First Recognition of the Public. Same parameters as I mentioned for the public comment section on agenda items only applies here as well. If you'd like to address the board, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes.
Sonia Dumnock is 56 Haytown. I just wanted to make one quick comment because we're mentioning Bob Mullen so much, and having had the privilege to have him in our building for the last few months in the capacity of vice principal. One thing that he did this year, which was something very different from years past, was he allowed for students to have some time after lunch to stretch and get out their energy. And as a seventh grade teacher, having that class after lunch, it is a night and day difference when they can get out for 5 or 10 minutes and do that versus on rainy days when they have been inside and they haven't had the opportunity to do that. So you've spoken about Bob's personality and the things that he's brought, but I wanted to share with you that one insight that you may not be privy to. Sorry.
That was me. Okay. Sorry.
He brought that on. We were all very skeptical of how it was going to work. They made it work, and I'll tell you, in terms of that class that happens after lunch, what a difference. What a difference. So, thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening? Seeing none, I'll close the floor and move on to the report of our school business administrator. Mr. Polkowski, may we have your report, please?
Sure. So for tonight, we're approving the board secretary in charge's report for November 2019. We're also approving the line transfer for the month of November. We also had scheduled a presentation from our prior auditor. She will still be making the presentation tonight. She has two other districts that she's at prior to this one and should be arriving here somewhere around 9:30. So that will be something that we'll hold later in the meeting depending on when she gets here. That's it.
Thank you, sir. Looking for motion, please, for action item 20BA011 to 20BA012.
Motion.
Mrs. Brooks, second, please.
Second.
Okay. Any questions?
Just a quick comment that I want to make sure that the whole board is aware of the legal fees that we have incurred for yet another month that we have now blown through our annual budget for legal fees. And so I think this is an issue that the board needs to address in the coming year.
So I'll just comment on that because we did spend some time today just going over the numbers. There was about $30,000 in payments made in the month of August, I believe, and it was for accounts payable items from the 2018-2019 school year. So as of the last meeting, we are in around $50,000 in expenditure spent for this year, and with these two additional checks puts us up to about $70,000 to date for this school year.
For this school year, and
correct.
We budgeted 68.
We budgeted $110,000, and when I had submitted the budget to the county, they made me put a portion of that into another line item. Basically the amount we had estimated for negotiation purposes. So it was split between two line items, but the total was about $110,000.
Okay.
So right now we're at about 70 of that $110,000.
Okay, so then I will amend my comment and say that we are well on pace to exceed what we have budgeted.
I think a large expenditure was associated with the fact-finding, which is done now. So anything associated with the negotiations will not be that high. So I don't think that the trend that you see now at all indicates the trend for the next 5 or 6 months in that particular budget line item. In addition, we had some unexpected items that we didn't anticipate, which was the property that had the flooding, and that was a decent amount of money as well. So I think several of the things that drove it to the $70,000 within the first 6 months will not be impactful in that second half of the year. So I don't think the trend that you see, we will see in the second half.
Good. I hope that we will be mindful of that.
Of course you will.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Iyamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Moving on to facilities and finance. Mr. Malloy is chair of that committee. Mr. Malloy, may we have the report of your committee, please?
Yes, FNF met once since our last meeting. We had a telephone meeting last week to cover a brief agenda discussing the audit, which I guess will be presented later on, bill payments, things of that nature, most of which will be covered in the agenda tonight. One of the items that's not on our agenda that was discussed at some length and I think is very interesting is that the district is undertaking some preliminary discussions with the Clinton Township Police Department about the potential for the Clinton Township School District to engage a school resource officer. For those who don't know, a school resource officer is a Class 3 law enforcement officer who is allowed to conduct his or her law enforcement duties solely on school grounds. Many, many districts have it. We all wish we didn't. But this is something I think that it has great potential to not only offer enhanced protection for our students and staff, but a real educational benefit. Having somebody who's not only well known in the local law enforcement community, but our local community, who can do things like drug and alcohol education, early intervention with students at risk, heavy interaction with some of our most vulnerable kids, is a great resource for this district to have. And though it is not on tonight's agenda, I strongly recommend that the 2021 Facilities and Finance Committee finish their research on this and put this up to a vote as quickly as possible. It is very unfortunate that we should be considering this, but in the times in which we live, and considering the cost, which is approximately 1/5 of 1% of our annual budget, to have an opportunity to have somebody like a school resource officer is something that I think this district would be remiss in passing on. So, on tonight's agenda, we have 16 items. We've got our bills payment, course and grad course and travel approval, IEP issues, the aforementioned donation of a bus for the Camden Gift Drive, the other aforementioned clarification of the Elliott Merenbloom Amendment, approval of a jointure agreement with Del Valle for transportation and aids, the eventual acceptance of the audit by Nisavocia LLP, our auditor, an amendment from last year's Facilities and Finance Agenda 19FF284 regarding a clinician at Round Valley, and the acceptance, the grateful acceptance, of a STEM grant from ExxonMobil. So with that, I move items 20FF91. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We should hold.
You want to hold the audit?
103
hold
the audit, 104.
Please. Okay. So I move. You got to throw me a curveball on my last one?
I'm trying to keep you on your toes.
I move items 20FF91 through 20FF102 and items 20FF105 and 106. We're holding 103 and 104 until after presentation.
That's right. Thank you. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Questions for Mr. Malloy?
Question, just trying to get the clarity on the observation report. I just want to get that out. Like, so we're hiring this person to come in, Therese High, at $400 per day, not to exceed $17,000. Just an explanation of what it's
sure,
about.
I'd like to, I could do that. So over the last number of years, that's something that we've done. We've employed retired administrators, and Sue is former principal of Brown Valley. She goes by Sue. Teresa's her formal name. So we've done that for the purpose of distributing the amount of required observations over, that would, you know, essentially be an eighth person. You know, the state requires us to do a number of observations, and it's more for non-tenured staff than for tenured. But basically, it's 357 total observations divided amongst the seven. So that would give everybody about 51. There are different time periods that these have to be, completed by. For example, you know, in speaking to one of the administrators who had an average load this past cycle of non-tenured staff, so that would require really three appointments per person. That administrator had 72 appointments on her calendar. And that's not even, dealing with the children and, all of the instruction and things like that. So it's just a large piece of what an administrator has to do, but it's not the only piece. And so this has been a really, successful model to have, people with experience to come in and assist with this process. For this particular person, she'll also be assisting with the end of year evaluations. That's in addition to the 357. Each staff member does receive an end of year evaluation. There's some time to put it together. There's an appointment to meet with the staff member to review scores and whatnot. That's about 30, 45 minutes, plus the time to prepare it. So, having all of those pieces together, that being said, is why we use this model.
And this is a common practice then throughout the state?
Yes.
And have we looked at other ways to possibly get this done?
So the only other way would be to hire another administrator, and so that's at a higher cost. So this model seems to work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Cohn, can I just clarify?
Sure.
Does the state mandate that number of observations, or is that particular to the type of evaluation tool that we use?
Yeah. Maybe Dave can help us out with this.
Yes, the state around 5 or 6 years ago came up with a very prescriptive requirement regarding observations of the certificated staff, and requires a certain number of observations, and then also requires pre and post meetings before those observations. So it's very prescriptive and unfortunately very burdensome for your school leaders. And that's why this is a very common tactic for how to deal with that.
Were you at the helm there, Commissioner, when that happened?
It was very well supported throughout the state at the time. It was a good idea at the time, I think, as they say, right?
I have one more question.
Sure.
So we're appointing Mrs. High across the school year into the next school year?
Yes.
I think the previous ones that I've seen are just for in a single school year. Is there a reason why we're extending, first of all, why we didn't vote on this earlier, but then why we're approving it into the next school year?
So we wanted to wait. Deb Brief just completed her rounds with us, and so Sue is now ready to come on board. And she's retired, and so what happens in the retirement is you can only work so much. And so where our other people that have been employed in the past have worked enough according to the pension system, Sue has a little bit more time to spread out to give us some assistance for this year, the end of the year, and then into the next cycle for the beginning of the school year.
Plus she had to wait 6 months after she retired before she could actually start working and making income
right.
again in education.
And then the previous person we used was Mr. Mullen, who
yes.
was working.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So they're kind of doing this, so
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Iamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Graham?
Yes. Motion carries. We're going to move on to the report of the personnel committee this evening. Personnel Committee worked via email and via phone this particular month. We're looking this evening for approval for 24 total action items tonight. The first I'd like to bring to everybody's attention is that we, with regret, will be voting to approve the retirement of two folks in the district. First, a teaching assistant, Ms. Patricia Gorda, and second, we're looking for approval for the retirement of Mr. Robert Lamoureux, a custodian. And on behalf of the board, we would like to wish them both the very best in their next stage of their lives. I'd like to draw your attention to action item 20P134 and 135. In the first resolution, we'll be seeking the approval to accept the resignation of the teaching assistant. But the good news is that based on student need, in the following resolution, we're hiring her as a new special educator. So she was certificated to be a special educator. We were lucky to have her on staff as a TA. And so we'd like to welcome her on board as well. In action item 20P137, the committee is asking the board for approval of five lunch and recess monitors to work up to an additional 3 hours to assist with sign-ins and building security on each of the following celebrations held on December 20th of 2019 and March 6th of 2020. At PMG concerts to be held on March 25th of 2020, April 30th of that same year, and May 21st, again, of 2020. And we're asking these folks as well for approval for them to work field dates to be held on June 8th, June 9th, and June 10th, again, all in the year of 2020. Dr. Cohn has explained to the committee that she needs to increase the pool of substitute custodians. And so therefore, you'll see several motions on the agenda that's looking for the approval to place three individuals into that pool on an ad need basis. Action item 20P144 is seeking the approval for chaperones at Patrick McGarren's Art Fest to be held on May 13th, 2020 at $26.60 per hour, not to exceed 3.3 hours. In addition, you'll also see two staff members listed on the agenda to be approved as chaperones, again at $26.60 per hour at CTMS events for the 2019-2020 school year. The committee will ask the board to vote tonight to approve action item P143 that'll give permission for the current staff member, a current staff member to mentor a newly hired teacher for 20 weeks. This teacher that will be mentored is a novice teacher, and according to the collective bargaining agreement between the CTA and the district, the novice teacher will pay the tenured staff member $367 for mentoring for approximately 20 weeks. There are three requests from members of our staff for FMLA leave. We also have in this particular section looking for approval for basketball scorekeepers. In the past, we had students be the scorekeepers at basketball events, but unfortunately, they were not treated so kindly by opposing coaches, and so we felt it was important that we put adults at the table to manage the scores table, both from a clock perspective and scorekeeping perspective, too. This summer, the district had 25 new students added to the Department of Special Services, and Mrs. Cohn has already spoken about her need to add full-time TAs to cover those new student needs as well. So I'd like to make a motion for action items 20P133 to 20P156. Looking for a second, please?
I'll second.
Any questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes, except for I would like to abstain from action 20-P-155.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Imaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Graham?
Yes. Motion carries. I'd like to move on to, I'll just throw it over to you, Mrs. Brooks, for both the Policy Committee and the curriculum committee.
The policy committee met briefly by phone because we actually had no new policies to read for the first time or other policies to read for the second time. We did, however, discuss the status of the review of our current policies, which basically shows that that at a certain point, pieces of policy or of, what's the other word?
It's bylaw.
Bylaws were intertwined in unexpected ways, so that it's more difficult than one might think to go through the policies and find information that you would expect to be there based on, you know, the standard list of policies that most schools have. So we are going through that now and trying to adjust and find out if there were reasons why those pieces of policy were moved to where they are, and if not, move back along, or otherwise reorganize. But, you know, that's going to take some time. Did you have questions on that?
May I just add something to
Certainly.
That as well? So those particular policies were consolidated in the past and voted on and approved by the board. CUSAC has changed how they're actually going to evaluate policies, and we're not sure if they're going to mandate us separating those policies out or actually leaving those policies as they are now. If we can leave the policies the way they are now, then there's no need to separate them at all. But if the county and the folks who advise us from a legal perspective say that we should separate them into separate policies again, then the committee will take that on and then separate those.
I didn't mean to imply that this was done haphazardly. It was done as a result of policies at the time versus policies changes now. So, yeah, so we will respond as CUSAC requires. So there is nothing on which to vote.
Looking for a second, please?
Sure. We got one. It's just fine.
Okay, thank you.
Who was it?
Allison.
Okay. Any questions?
Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Iamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. The Negotiations Committee for CTEA, CTAA, and Communications and Feasibility of Closing School does not have individual reports for this evening. I would like to move on to old business of the board. And I'd like to start off old business with recognizing Mr. Kevin Malloy. Tonight's Board of Education meeting marks the last monthly board meeting for Mr. Kevin Malloy. I'd like to take a moment to recognize him for his hard work and dedication to the children of Clinton Township. Mr. Malloy has been on the Clinton Township Board of Education for 8 years?
8 years.
He started his tenure on the board after he interviewed for an open board seat in November of 2011. It was then that he was selected to serve for the remaining half of that seat's terms. During his time on the board, Mr. Malloy was here to be the chair of Facilities and Finance Committee, and for many years he also served as a general member of that same committee. Mr. Malloy also volunteered to be a member of the Personnel Committee, the CTA Negotiations Committee, a member of the Kindergarten Ad Hoc Committee, Communications Committee, and as a member of the feasibility of closing the school. Needless to say, as you can see, Mr. Malloy holds a tremendous amount of institutional knowledge and history of this district, and he will be truly missed. On behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Malloy, for your service to our children and to our community.
Thank you, sir.
Any other old business at this present time?
I have something. Thank you for that, and coming on the heels of that, this is a bit awkward, but given that this is my last meeting as a member of this board, I'll ask the board's indulgence while I read a statement. And I'd like to, before I read it, I'd like to say that I don't want to read it. I didn't want to write it, and I never thought I'd have to. But over the past 2 years, as the CTEA, with vigorous support from both the NJEA and social media acolytes, have become more strident in their tactics, and I have been subjected to an increasing number of attacks, many of them more personal in nature than I would have expected based on my 8 years of service, or at least certainly the first six. I have been falsely and ridiculously accused of being a bully and a misogynist. I understood this to be a noticeable shift in tactics by the CTEA to achieve an end. The charge is so ludicrous on its face that I dismissed it out of hand. After all, I am a public figure, and public figures will be subject to such false claims for political purposes from time to time. But the run-up to our most recent election and events in the weeks following it have been much darker and far different. In furtherance of its aims, the CTEA actively supported false claims, the most serious of which was voter intimidation. While I sincerely believe that nobody actually thinks a thing such as this occurred, there didn't seem to be an issue in allowing this claim of a felony to stand against me, so long as it was seen as a means to an election end. Some of my fellow board members stood on in silence. I asked all fellow candidates during the election to publicly join me in a positive, issues-based campaign. I was joined by Ms. Chioda and Mrs. Holliday and Burns. Unfortunately, that's all. Our wonderful teachers and staff, and you are wonderful, approach the microphone monthly to talk about their dedication. After the behavior of the past election in the last few weeks, I'm sadly left asking sometimes to what? Your teachers. You set examples and provide guidance to our students, including my own children. I ask you to consider the examples you set when you applaud, when you support the smearing of public volunteers in search of some sort of victory in a negotiation. Do you think our kids aren't paying attention? They are, I assure you. Month after month, you allow your chosen representatives to smear and defame and attack Maria Grant, myself, and others who dare to have differing opinions of the best use of the financial resources of our township, to make yourselves seem sympathetic as victims. Well, please allow me the indulgence of giving the teachers a lesson. When you say or repeat something that you know to be false, you are by definition lying. And by doing it so often, you are normalizing this behavior. I am calling your attention, your role not only as members of a collective bargaining unit, but members of this small community we call home. I beg you, stop the misrepresentations. Stop falsely accusing board members of actions they didn't take, and stop the bullying of dedicated public servants. There is not a scintilla of evidence to any of the claims made. There is demonstrable intolerance of the opinions of those that differ than yours, and apparent comfort in using these reprehensible tactics, including the tactics of personal destruction, to achieve a financial end. This is not the example I want the students of our district to witness. The CTEA union president writes and speaks of a new normal. I am profoundly worried for our district if this is what she has envisioned. To the new board members of the 2020-2021 Board of Education, I congratulate you and wish you luck, but I implore you, do not indulge in this new normal. Maintain your independence and call out lies when you hear them. Defend each other and this noble body on which you serve. Remember your role as independent representatives for all of the 13,000 men, women, and children of our township. Do not lay down and abdicate your fiduciary responsibility in the name of approved relations. If history has taught us anything, it's that capitulation to bullies will only lead to more bullying. And make no mistake, we are being bullied. I ask all CTEA members to take some time to digest my statement. Ask if I'm wrong. Ask if I'm lying. Listen to the audio. Read the minutes. Ask if this is really the direction you want your new normal to take you. Our kids are watching, and you are teaching them through your actions. Thank you.
Any other old business?
I just wanted to check. Last month, somebody had asked about live streaming, and we said we would check in to see if that might be possible. I think one of the public comments somebody had mentioned, we could reach out and see if there's a way to make this possible.
Mrs. Cohen's working on trying to, with her staff, as to what type of equipment and the cost and things and search. It's been done once before. The research has been done once before.
Okay.
And so they're trying to find that from a prior superintendent as well, which sometimes can be difficult to find in the vault downstairs at Round Valley School.
Okay.
Any other old business? Seeing none, open the floor to new business.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, if this belongs in old business. I just wanted to report on the latest Hunterdon County School Board Association meeting, which Mrs. Brooks attended on November 21st. It was about incorporating social and emotional learning into middle school and high school health curricula. To be honest, it was kind of a sales pitch for the person who was presenting, so I won't go into much detail other than wanting to applaud our district for explicitly having a health curriculum this year. The other thing that I think is worth noting from the meeting was that there was a representative that is coordinating Census 2020 efforts, and so I just want to encourage all of our community members to make sure that you fill out the census forms, because that has resource implications. And so the New Jersey School Board Association is really encouraging school districts to make sure that our residents are properly counted so that we get the resources that are due to us based on our population. Mrs. Brooks, I don't know if you had anything to add to that.
No, I did find it interesting that it was largely a sales pitch on a program designed for the most part for high school students, but the person who designed it is a parent in this district and therefore a potential resource for us if she might be willing to work with us.
Okay, thank you.
I think this also probably belongs to old business, but I had mentioned that I would be attending the 3 R's training, which I did last week down in Pennington, with two members elect also attended the training, and I found it to be very useful and informative, spanning all topics from basically where to find the answers to questions that you might have around policy and the Strauss ESME and NJSBA resources there, and particularly sample questions you could ask your field service rep about that, as well as good ways to become better oriented with your district. So one of the ideas was doing setting up at times that wouldn't be disruptive, like a tour of facilities, which I spoke to Dr. Cohn about, and there were also ideas about, you know, setting up time to review specific areas of the curriculum or things like that as ways to become better acquainted with your district and better able to empower student achievement. So anyway, that's, I think, the whole kit and caboodle of that training. But it was quite useful, and I would recommend it as like a really solid refresher to the board camp.
I got to attend the middle school chorus concert, and I just want to say we have some amazingly talented kids. I am very sad the camarada was not allowed to join or not able to join us since our meeting was moved. But I have to say, just music to my ears, it was absolutely amazing seeing those students perform.
Just as also a follow-up with our lovely weather, as I spoke about earlier, last night the CTMS band concert had to be postponed. So we're looking at after the holidays, after the break, we'll reschedule. So keep our fingers crossed for better weather.
Thank you. I'd like to open the floor now to the second recognition of the public. Same parameters that I mentioned before regarding agenda items only apply here. If you'd like to speak with the board, come up to the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes.
Oh my goodness. The speakers aren't working. There we go.
Seeing none, I'm going to ask for a motion to go into recess because the auditors are not here yet for us to have that presentation. So,
may I make a suggestion that we hold our executive session while?
Yeah, we can.
I got a text from the auditor that she's still at the other school and that there's been presentations for her and she still has not presented yet.
Oh, so
she's
postpone.
Running later than she had anticipated. She thought she'd be here by 9:30 at the latest, but now it looks like it could be later.
All right, so why don't we just go into executive session then? This is the most favorite part of the meeting for you, and the last time you have to do it.
I'll try to read it.
Last time here.
I'll try to make less mistakes this time.
Nobody else makes him do this anyplace else but us.
Okay. Whereas while Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and should be discussed during executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public bodies or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality reviewing, hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A 37-13.2, attorney-client privilege, personnel negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved, the board hereby declares that its discussions of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken.
Thank you, Ms. Polkowski. Looking for a motion, going to executive session.
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
Dr. Grantham. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? We're now in executive session. Looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is now reconvened.
Okay. All right, so since our auditing firm won't be here until much later tonight, I'm going to kind of give you a quick rundown of the audit. I did send out an email to the board on Saturday with the audit, which is referred to the CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and the AMR, the Auditor's Manager Report. I'll also attach the corrective action plan. So the audit is of our 18-19 school year, which is July 1, 2018 through June 30th, 2019. I'm gonna leave this for like questions and answers, but essentially like what everyone wants to know in an audit is, okay, well, how do we end up at the end of the year? So there's basically like three key figures we wanna look at. And I included those in a chart in the email. So June 30th of 2018, we ended up with an unassigned fund balance of $535,000. I'm just going to round the numbers a little bit. And what that means is that's money that we're allowed to essentially keep as a fund balance that doesn't have to be designated as something. And in a nutshell, it's 2% of our budget here. But there's some exceptions to what we can do based on some other types of funds. And I'll talk about that when we get to the 2019 figures. So for our ending June 30, 2019, that unassigned fund balance went from $535,000 up to $1,058,000. The reason why we were allowed to increase from there, because basically to $500,000 essentially is our cap, is because we had some extraordinary aid money, which is essentially funding from the state for expenses for special education expenses. Extraordinary expenses, and you're allowed to essentially put that money on top of your 2%.
It's really essentially money that we've already spent, and it's a reimbursement of money that we've spent.
Exactly.
Based on a formula based off of service.
Correct. And there's, you know, depending on how your school year is going, you could do resolutions to bring that money into that school year to help pay for those costs, etc. So that's why we're able to get our fund balance. Our unassigned fund balance up to a little over $1 million. And the actual calculation of that is in the auditor's management report at the very end. And it's pretty simplified. Anyone can just kind of run through how that's calculated. So that's obviously an improvement from, you know, fiscal year 2018, because the money is, you know, basically doubled. Our capital reserve. So our capital reserve ending June 30, 2018 was $2,176,000. At the end of June 30, 2019, it's $2,691,000. So we actually added money to our capital reserve. Now I put some bullet points there that even though we added to it, we also budgeted in this current school year, we budgeted $1,076,000 of that capital reserve for projects. For the most part, we're spending most of that money. Some of the projects bid a little bit less. They bid less than we had budgeted. So, you know, if we took that $1,076,000 out of it, our true capital reserve right now is right around $1.6 million. Now, our maintenance reserve, which at the end of June 30, 2018 was $621,000, that reserve now is down to $421,000. And that's because we had actually had money that was budgeted in the 2018-19 school year out of maintenance reserve. So all in all, if you look at our, you know, financial picture, some things went up, some things went down, but you know, we're in a good financial position. However, we're essentially, for an unassigned fund balance, essentially meeting, you know, the max we could do for that, which really on a, you know, $30 million budget, $1 million is a very small amount of money. The capital reserve, we have essentially millions of dollars of projects in our five-year long-range facility plan. So this money helps do those projects. And then our maintenance reserve is, you know, a relatively small amount of money. So anyone have any questions on? Sorry,
That's okay.
Looking in that direction because most people are down there. But any questions on those fund balances?
The first one that you mentioned, I'm sorry, it's not the capital.
The unreserved fund balance?
Yeah. What is that reserved for?
You know, essentially, there's different things you could do with that money. I mean, you could bring that money, you could use that money into like future years if you want. You could budget that money into a future budget. But you know, it's money that's just not assigned to anything. I'm not going to say you could just bring it into your budget at any time, because you really can't. You create a budget and you're supposed to stick to the budget, but there are some resolutions you could potentially do to bring some of that money in. But really, it's money that you could use in future budgets. That's the best way I could describe it.
Okay.
But you can't count on that year after year after year.
No, you can't count on year after year at all, nope.
Okay, so would it cover overruns in the budget if we should have any?
It really wouldn't. I mean, you'd have to have, it'd be like a lot of permissions to be able to do that.
Okay. I mean, I know you said $1 million compared to a $30 million budget doesn't seem like a lot of money, but it seems like an awful lot of money sitting around that doesn't have an assigned use.
It gets assigned normally in the next year's budget.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of rules around the unreserved fund balance, unassigned fund balance. Again, our normal cap based on our budget is right around $500,000. We're not always going to have an extraordinary aid figure that's going to go on top of it like we've had this past year. There was actually a lot of work done by some staff in our office to, you know, to really improve that number. We went from basically a couple $100,000 up to like $600,000. So a lot more time was spent capturing all the costs that were extraordinary. But yeah, so, you know, the $500,000, if you have money that you don't put away in capital reserve or in maintenance reserve, and you've hit your max unassigned fund balance, that money has to be used in future budget years.
Okay.
I don't know if that answers your question exactly, but.
Extraordinary aid also has been coming in roughly in this district about $160,000 a year. So the fact that we got that much is truly,
it's an outlier.
And normally we will spend somewhere around $600,000 to $700,000 in above and beyond for special education. And so you apply for it, but what they've been giving us is roughly $150,000, $160,000 per year. So the fact that we got this much money was like amazing.
Besides that extraordinary aid money, you know, how we ended the year, we really didn't end the year with much of a surplus at all. That basically what we've added to capital reserve, the $400,000 or so, that was our fund balance for the year, which is pretty small.
Okay.
It's pretty, you know, it's a relatively low fund balance, so it was what I would call a tight budget.
Okay.
Does anyone have any other questions on that? Okay, so what the budget, the CAFR, the audit itself, it's primarily a financial document. It's all kinds of statements in there. The audit manager report is like all the testing they do to make sure we're doing things correctly is in the AMR. So last year we had 5 findings and recommendations. This year we're down to 2 minor, what I would consider minor findings recommendations. Now I came in basically halfway through the year, just after halfway through the year. So the 2 findings that we had this year, one of them was a miscount or misreporting of the number of free and reduced students we had. We reported 77, but we only had documentation on 70. Or do I have that reverse? Anyway, that's right. So it was 7 off, which essentially, like, because it was 10%, it became a finding. If we were like 1 less, it wouldn't. I'm not really sure how that occurred. Those are numbers that are reported. They're reported like in October. So I read the February. It happened a few months before. I know this year a lot of time was spent on the ASSA where that information is reported, and the exact number of applications that we had that were approved were reported. So I wouldn't anticipate that problem again in the future. So you know, that's a relatively easy one to resolve. The other one is there's a 10% transfer rule. Essentially, we have all our account lines, and there's certain groupings based by function of ones that are totaled together. So you can't make a transfer of 10% of the total dollar amounts in those areas in or out without getting approval by the county. Now, I'll take fault of this one. I really probably should have looked at it closer before the end of the year. You know, spending in that particular area, which is 11,00230, those are like, that's like the superintendent cost goes essentially, and legal costs fall on that. And, you know, normally when you're doing, when you're going to spend over 10%, it's like something like you didn't budget for, and, you know, you're thinking, okay, I want to, you know, repair something, and I want to take money out of somewhere. So this was kind of a cost that we'd be spending no matter what, whether, you know, we automatically get approval. And you basically have to fill out a form and submit it to the county, and they say yes. That was not done. That's why the finding, and I take, you know, responsibility for that. That should have been done. Again, for this current year, you know, we're keeping a closer eye on that if that occurs. That particular area is a very, is a, compared to other areas of the budget, is a relatively small dollar figure area. So the transfer amount total was like, before you exceed it, was like $47,000, somewhere right around there. So it didn't take much to exceed that 10%. So those are the two findings of recommendation. The corrective action plan essentially states those, states what we're going to do to correct it, who's responsible, and when it's going to be done. So that's the corrective action plan. Other than that, I mean, I felt like it was a very, the audit went very well. You know, and I would anticipate it would go even better this coming year. Does anyone have any, that's basically all I want to report on, unless someone else has any additional questions.
Did the auditor's notes reveal anything besides what we talked about? Do we have our auditor's notes yet?
Well, the AMR is their, yeah, their report. Their no, that's,
but,
that's what's
but
in
But
aside
there. From that one corrective item, that's
There's
it?
There's two. There's two, yeah, corrective, okay, items, yep. One of them, the one because with the appraisal of the school has not physically occurred yet, but we hired the company, that's in there as, you know, a finding, but there's no recommendation because we've already corrected. That's already corrected that, and that's in process.
Is that every 5-year process?
Essentially, once you do it once, then you really just want to keep up with it year to year. You get an update from those companies. That seems to keep the auditors the most happy to do that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Is the 10% rule, you said it was a rule, is it actually statutory?
I believe it is. Yeah.
Regulatory.
Yeah, regulatory. Yeah.
It's a regulation of the Department of Education.
Right? Yeah.
Dave wrote it.
No, I did not. That was a gentleman by the name of Mike Azara back in 2007 or something like that.
I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but it's more or less like a formality. I mean, anytime I've done them in the past, it's, you've never get any pushback. They approve it and send it to you. I mean, in this case, we had reasons why, you know, there's legal expenses that are causing that. You know, we are obviously in negotiations. There's some other things that occurred, et cetera. You know, it's not like we're trying to, you know, do something out of the ordinary that we didn't budget for.
Okay, Kevin.
Okay, so I'm going to, do I need to reopen FNF or no?
No, you can just move these two, right?
Yeah, move the two motions.
Right, so I'm going to move 20FF103 and 20FF104.
Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Sorry, my computer just stopped working. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
Second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Extensions, meeting is adjourned.